Will you stand for our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed? Let us share in it together in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please.
Our lectionary scriptures are Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7, and Luke 3, verses 15 to 17, and 21 to 22. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us once again be in the moment and posture of prayer. Lord God, we come yet again to the fountain of your word, seeking guidance, seeking strength, seeking power, oh God, to better live our lives and find the ability, oh God, to order our footsteps according to your holy word. So now, blessed God, may the words of this, your servant's mouth, and the meditations now of each of our hearts now be found to be acceptable, Lord, in your most holy and excellent sight. For you and you alone, you are our rock, you are our strength, and you are our one certain and sure foundation. In the blessed name of the one who shows us the way, Christ Jesus, do we now lift this prayer and wait on the continued blessings of his Spirit among us. In Jesus' holy name, these blessings we pray, amen. Amen. Here again from Isaiah's 43rd chapter, beginning in verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And now from Luke's Gospel, verses 21 and 22, that end this lectionary passage from Luke's third chapter. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. In our first text from Isaiah, the prophet is writing during a period when the Israelites were living in exile in Babylon. They had been recently separated from many of the things in life that were of great value to them. They had been uprooted from their homes. They had been removed from many of their familiar places of comfort, both physically and emotionally. And they had been distanced from one of the greatest symbols of their connection with God, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. As we witness over the last several days, the tragic wildfires sweeping through the Los Angeles area, we can only begin to imagine the great sense of devastation and loss by those who have similarly been uprooted from their homes and communities and separated from so many of their familiar places of comfort. Their schools, their churches, the neighborhood businesses and grocery stores, the community library. And coupled with the physical sense of loss is the extreme emotional sense of loss. The playground where kids met their friends to play every day. The homes and neighborhoods in Altadena, a suburb of Los Angeles, for example, where a number of African American families came in order to find refuge and to build lives for themselves away from the Jim Crow segregation of the Deep South. In Panorama City, another neighborhood in Los Angeles County where a number of Japanese Americans settled after being released from American internment camps during World War II. Internment camps where they had been forcibly rounded up and involuntarily held without just cause or merit during our war with Japan. And with each of these communities and neighborhoods lost due to these recent California wildfires is the emotional sense of loss that comes with the memories, the relationships, and the hopes and dreams attached to these places that have now been utterly destroyed by the fires. The Israelites wrote about this kind of emotional and physical displacement experienced during some of their moments of exile in some of our most familiar psalms. You perhaps will remember hearing some of these words. For example, verses 1 through 4 in Psalm 137. Here it is written, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. And our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? For the Israelites of Isaiah's day, the rivers of Babylon symbolize the bitter waters of exile and the devastating waters of the diaspora. And as we said, our text from Isaiah was written during a time when the Israelites were far from home. far from the holy mountain and far from the Jerusalem temple, which was the heart and soul of their life, and far from the sacred center of their existence. They were defeated, demoralized, and depressed. And like the Israelites of Isaiah's time and our brothers and sisters in California and in other places displaced by fires and floods and hurricanes and other natural catastrophes in this new era of global climate change. Like these other individuals, we too at times also feel emotionally and socially displaced, if not physically displaced. Family relationships may be fractured and torn. Medical and other health-related issues may leave us at times with more questions than we have answers. Our financial circumstances and limitations may appear at times to be overwhelming to us, especially in a time when the nation as a whole is wealthier than ever before. But the gap between the rich, the wealthy, and everyone else has never been more extreme. And in this new year, we continue to entertain uncertainties about our future as individuals as well as a nation. Under this new presidential and congressional administration about to officially be sworn in the coming week. So our text today from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah has as much relevance for us today as it did for the Israelites in Isaiah's time. And at the very outset of this text, the prophet announces on God's behalf that a different kind of reality is now in the works, such that into their previously perceived situations of anxiety, hopelessness, and despair, a new kind of a reality is about to be witnessed. Two words at the very beginning of this text signal the change. And if you're too hasty in your reading of the text, you'll miss this beginning shift that the prophet is about to proclaim. And the two words that signal this new reality now in the works are simply, "But now." Yes. But now. But now, thus says the Lord, you may have perceived yourself to be in distress before, but now. You may have felt your circumstance hopeless before, but now. You may have had to suffer some consequences for your sins and your mistakes before, but now. You may have experienced, as was the case with the Israelites, the wrath and punishment of the Lord, which caused them to be sent into exile, but now. But now comes this new reality which God. And God alone is confirming that God can bring about. Listen again to the opening three verses of this text. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So the Lord, according to the prophet Isaiah, didn't just bring us this far to leave us. The Lord who created us and formed us, according to the prophet Isaiah, has already redeemed us. For we are, in fact, His. And He has called us by our name. That means God knows you personally. And because we belong now to Him, instead of being left alone to fend for ourselves against Satan and the dark forces of this world, we need not fear. For the most powerful force in the universe has pledged to be at our side whenever we go through our seasons of trials and tribulations. And no, beloved, God doesn't promise that we won't have to go through some things in life. All of us will. At some point or another, the rain falls upon the just and the unjust alike. So God does not promise that we won't have to go through some things in life, but God does pledge that when we do go through our fiery furnaces, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember those three characters, don't you, in the book of Daniel? When we do go through our fiery furnaces, God will be in the fiery furnace with us. And the flame shall not consume us. On the first Sunday, or the final Sunday of last year, 2024, we conducted in service a reaffirmation of our baptismal vows. It is something we typically do on the threshold of a new year to remind ourselves of who we really are as we close out one year and prepare ourselves to begin a new year. For it is in and through our baptisms that we affirm that we no longer belong to the world, but we belong instead to God. And it is in and through our baptisms that God initiates us into God's family, with all of the rights and privileges that come with being a child of the King. And for as long as we remember this, and continue to live as if we truly belong to God and not to the dark forces of the world around us, then God will always continue to stand with us, even in our darkest moments of travail. Even Jesus himself, prior to assuming his public ministry at age 30, was symbolically initiated as the Son of God in his public baptism by John the Baptist. And he did so in order to give us the example of one who is confirmed and affirmed as a child of God. For it was in and through his baptism that Jesus himself, already the Son of God and without sin, was affirmed in this role when our text from Luke's gospel says, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And it was perhaps at this moment that Jesus went from being a mere carpenter and the son of a carpenter from a little backwater town called Nazareth to someone now affirmed by God with all of the powers conveyed and being a legitimate child of God. And he would need such power to begin his public ministry at age 30. And for as long as Jesus remembered who he was as such, and the confirmation and affirmation of this in his baptism, he could weather any and all things that Satan and the world might throw at him and provide for us the example and the way for us to do likewise. In the course of monitoring the Los Angeles wildfires on the news this past week, I witnessed an interview of one of the residents who had lost her house. And this was a mother with two young children in tow. Their house had been burned to the ground. And the television reporter asked this young mother of two how she would explain this tragic event to her children. And she said something to the effect of, I will tell them this isn't a sad thing. It's a potent thing because it makes you more human. Now, this brief interview didn't reveal the full depth of this young mother's response, but I interpreted her response to mean that this event was not meant to diminish us, but instead to remind us that as humans, we're not invulnerable to these kinds of events. And when they do happen, these kinds of events do happen, they help us to have empathy for others who are going through similar difficult circumstances themselves. If nothing else, we become more human in our understanding of other people's difficulties and problems and circumstances of life. And I would also add this to my understanding of her response, And this comes from my perspective as a person of faith. I would add that this event is also a potent reminder of how much we need God. We cannot make it in this world with all that we are up against without the empathy and understanding and the support and the compassion of a loving God. And in and through our baptisms, we are reminded that we are marked as children of the King. And we have been given the assurance that we have a pathway out of exile and into the promised land of God's assuring presence. For God will be in these fiery furnaces with us. God will be in the arena with us. That is why Isaiah's words are so timely even today. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel,